A statement of faith. This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, you'll find these words. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, somebody say in everything. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen? Well, you may be seated. This is going to be our third and final sermon in the series that we've entitled Intentionally Grateful. And I have defined grateful as being thankful for kindness, help, blessings, or benefits. Definition 2 says having a heart posture for thankfulness. The last definition says showing appreciation and gratitude. Now, I have said being grateful is not a casual emotion. It's a deliberate decision. So you don't just stumble into gratefulness. You have to on purpose. Somebody say on purpose. You have to on purpose steer your heart toward it. The Bible does not tell us to feel thankful, because if we operate in our feelings, we ain't going to thank nobody. So it says he does not tell us to feel thankful. It tells us to give thanks. That means gratitude is an act of the will. It's an act of obedience, and it is an act of faith. So gratitude is not something that we wait to feel. It is something that we choose to practice. Somebody say practice. So if you're going to be grateful, you just got to practice it. You got to be intentional. Because a grateful heart gives us the faith to say, God has been good, what he's done for us in the past. God is good, what he's doing for us right now. And God will be good in the future. So therefore, no matter where I find myself, I got to believe that God is good even when we're experiencing moments of discouragement, disappointment, or despair. In those times, we must choose to give thanks to God, not for the troubling times that we're in, but we give thanks to him in spite of the times that we're in. So purpose in your heart to do your best to be intentionally grateful even when you're in the midst of troubling and distressing times. Amen? I said in the scriptures, being grateful involves remembering what God has done. 2, recognizing his ongoing goodness. And the 3, responding with praise. So that's remembering, recognizing, and responding in praise by giving thanks to God from an obedient heart. Amen? Now today we're going to start off in Ephesians. If you got your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Here we see the Apostle Paul encouraging the believers in the to be imitators of God by following Christ. And he said that they should follow Christ's example in their daily life. And through this section, Paul had told the believers not to just get rid of some types of attitudes and behavior, but to replace them with others. So if the Bible tells us to stop doing something, then God wants us to start doing something else. If we got to get rid of something, then God wants us to replace whatever we get rid of with something else, something that's going to be better. So here, impure talk, Paul addressed this area of impure talk. He says that impure talk is to be replaced with thankfulness. In other words, instead of saying things that is not pleasing to God to fit in with the world, we should use our voice to express our thankfulness to God. Amen. And you see, in this way, our words will build up and benefit others. So what he's trying to get us to see is that sometimes situations gonna make you want to say one thing, But you know, your old nature will want you to say one thing, but instead of saying what you want to say based on your old nature, you're supposed to say, I thank God. When you hear others saying stuff that's crazy, instead of you laughing with them, you're supposed to be thanking God that you ain't saying it and praying that they shut the foolishness. If you ain't bold enough to confront them, you ought to be praying that the Spirit will speak to them to shut the foolishness. Y'all don't want to hear from it. Y'all ain't going to work with it. Now, so look what he says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. He says, imitate God. Somebody say, imitate God. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Because you belong to God and he's our father, we're supposed to act like him. We got his DNA in us now, the Holy Spirit. Just like your children act like you, you're supposed to act like God. Amen. I know some of y'all got young children right now. All I got to do is watch them for a while and they'll tell me what you do, what you say, how you act. Because when they act up, they imitate you. When they do good, they imitate. They got attitude at 5 years old. Mom and daddy got some attitude. I wonder where they got that from. They imitating? They smiling and glad and cheerful? They see that at home. Oh, Lord, let me read on. Y'all didn't like that. He said, because you're his dear children. He says, live a life filled with love. Somebody say love. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Then he tells us now, don't worry about this. I'm not going to stay here long, so don't, y'all, this is for y'all friend. Y'all passed this verse 3 here, but it is in the Bible, so I got to read it. He says now, let there be no, somebody say no. Sexual immorality. Whew, that's a big one right there. You got to go look that up in the Greek and all that. But that kind of covers everything in the area of sex. Yeah. That's not lining up with the word of. Y'all get real quiet right there. He said, let there be no. Somebody say no. No sexual immorality. Impurity. Talking about, you know, the pureness of your heart, you know, and your attitude and your thought process, whether it's moral or physical. You don't want to be impure. Or greed. In other words, don't have an inordinate desire for everything. Enough is a sometime. You got to know what that enough is. Now, it's different for all of y'all. But at some point in time, you can't get to the point where you greedy. Because if you do, what you're chasing will become your God. He says, let that not be among you. Such sins have, somebody say, no place among God's people. There are certain things that ain't even supposed to belong amongst us. Amen. Because we are God's people. There are certain things that don't belong among your children. If you didn't teach them that, and you know it's not what you would have them to do, then it don't belong to them. And if they're doing that, then you have to come. He says, now look, then he get down to, you know, verse 4. He says, obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. So he said, now, you know, people going to tell jokes. All jokes ain't good jokes. Some jokes are not even laughed too. But, you know, when I was coming up, we had the jokes. And we ain't know no better. We laughed at them. You know, we had the white man, the colored man, the Jew-Jo. Some of y'all old enough to that. Yeah. We had the, you know, y'all remember them jokes. And we was worried. We ain't know no better. We just laughed. Because somebody was going to be the butt of that joke out of them three. And it didn't make us no different. We just laughed. We know that the Bible say we shouldn't have been laughing at them jokes. Because he gives us an out here. He says, instead of telling jokes like that, these are not for you. Then he used the word instead. Instead means you got to replace those jokes with. So he says, when those jokes are going around now at the water fountain, instead of you laughing at the jokes, instead, let there be thanks. Fullness of God. So while other folks are still telling, because these jokes ain't stopped, they just unchanged the characters. That's right. And so when you hear these jokes, instead of you laughing at the joke, you're supposed to start giving. I thank God that I don't talk like that no more. I thank God that I don't call, you know, Jewish folks this and Polish folks that and Negroes that, white folk that. I thank God, because in the day, we did. Some of y'all are too young to remember jokes like that. I don't know what kind of jokes they're telling now, but jokes didn't stop. They just got new characters maybe, but they still telling them. And you know them when you hear them. And when you hear one, instead of laughing and going along with it, you're supposed to start praising and thanking God that you don't do it. And hopefully they'll see your example and at least don't tell them jokes around. Let me move on. Y'all don't want to hear that now. Because that's going to make you different in your office. Let me go on to number two here because y'all didn't like that too much. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 2 through 6, in the Apostle Paul's words of encouragement to the Philippian church, where he appeals specifically to two believers to settle their disagreement. There were some issues going on, and folk weren't getting along. And he sent in his letter to tell them that y'all need to settle y'all disagreement. And then in his powerful appeal, we can see that gratitude or thankfulness should accompany prayer. In other words, when we pray, our prayers ought to have an element of gratitude. You know, I teach a little formula when I'm talking to new believers and trying to encourage them to pray. And many of you have heard the acronym ACTS, ACTS. I call them the ACTS of prayer. So when you go to God in prayer and you're teaching that or you're praying yourself, the A is for adoration. Get it in this order. Our Father, who art in? Start off by adoring him, acknowledging who he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is, how magnificent. Make him big before you start asking. That's the A, adoration. Somebody say adoration. Then the C is confession. Get it right with him before you go to the next step. Amen. If you did something wrong, let him know, God, I'm sorry. And every day that we ought to have a little confession, all I pray, because all of us do a little something wrong. We ain't there yet. We're striving for it, but we ain't there yet. So that's why that little C is there. So when you get caught up in your prayer time, don't shout till you start confessing. Don't make your shout empty because you ain't come. And if you ask the Holy Spirit to bring things to your remembrance, he'll show you. Then the T is for thanksgiving. While you're praying, tell him thank you for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he's going to do. And then the S is for supplication. I call that the begging. That's when you humbly make your requests known to him. And during that time, you can make requests not just for you, but for others. Because that's the time when you can turn your prayer to intercession, where you intercede on others' behalf. And so when Paul was writing this to them, he had to include this element of prayer in his comments. Is it all right if I read this for y'all right now? Y'all got the story. Now, that was some, you know, disagreement in the church. Somebody say in the church. Is that disagreements in churches today? Amen. Don't y'all think there ain't no church got no disagreement. I don't care what church it is. Call a name. Striving for perfection. Disagreement. Ex-church on block C over there, disagreement. Everybody ain't happy, somebody disagreeing. And every now and then, they got to be reminded they got to agree. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. I know it. I'm glad this is in the Bible. And I'm glad that y'all are here to hear this because it ain't for you, it's for somebody else. You may know what a disagreement is, and you could be like his friend here that got to go tell the folk, get it together. Okay, let me read this. In verse 2, he says, now I appeal to Eudia, I know I messed her name up, but Eudia, and Syntyche. I kind of looked it up in the Greek and tried to get it broke up in the right place, but it's Syntyche. Those two ladies, if y'all didn't get that. I need to make that clear. Them ain't no brother's name right there. Them two ladies. Now, ladies, don't take it offense right here. Brothers can get upset with each other in the church too, but most of the time. Most of the time. Y'all ain't got to say amen. Just shake your head. Most of the time. He says, I appeal to you, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And y'all please get it together. Not because you belong to Bolden, but because you belong to the Lord. That's almost like you got 3 or 4 children and 2 of them ain't getting along. You ought to be able to tell them, please, settle y'all disagreement. Y'all come from the same person. Settle your disagreement. You would think disagreement wouldn't even be in the church. But I just dropped by on my way to heaven to tell you, newsflash. If it's in the Bible that disagreements existed in this church, there's some disagreement in most of every. And when disagreement show up in the church, it's a good possibility, Robin, that disagreement is at home. Because if that person ain't agreeing here, he may not be agreeing at. So if we can solve the church problem or the home problem, then we shouldn't have disagreement. Y'all being mighty quiet right there. This is the last part of the sermon. Don't worry. He says, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Then because they couldn't do it themselves, so he said, I asked my true partner to kind of help you out. Verse 3, it says, I ask you, my true partner, the Bible don't say who this person was, but he says, to help these two women, for they work hard with me in telling others the good news. These ain't just bench warmers. These leaders. They work hard with me telling others the good. These folk may be preachers or deacons. They working hard telling others the good news. But they can't get along with. They work hard telling others the good news and forgot to love thy brother and thy sister, but they're telling everybody else the good news. Look at what he said. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. In other words, these folks' names are already written in heaven. That's a sign of, you know, that God got a knowledge of who they are because they belong to him. If your name written in heaven, you ought to be getting along with your brothers here on earth because y'all going to have to go to heaven together one day. Amen. 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 Let me see. Then he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say again, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Then he says, now to help you out, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. In other words, think about others more than you think about yourself. And then to kind of put a little thought in their head, he says, remember, the Lord is coming soon. In other words, he was saying, look, you ain't going to be here forever. The Lord is coming back. And you don't want him to come back fine, you cutting the food. He done told us that we got to watch and pray and how we're supposed to live waiting on his return. So we don't want to be caught unaware and out of place when God comes back. And so therefore, that's why it's important for us to live a certain way as if he's coming back to. Because we don't know the hour of the day. So therefore, we have to live knowing that he's coming back so we conduct ourselves in a way that's representative of that fact. He's coming back. So then he tells them the solution. Don't worry about anything. that that word is again. Instead, he said, replace your worry with prayer. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about telling God what you need and thank him. Somebody say thank him. For all he has. So anytime you go to God in prayer, it's okay for you to put an element of thanksgiving in your. Thank God for what he has done in your life. Thank God for what he's doing in your life. Thank God for what he's going to do in your life. Don't forget. Remember the things that God has done for you. Recognize what he's doing right now. And then give him thanks for what he's going to do in the. So we got to give God thanks. Now look here. My third turn is Colossians chapter 1. Here we see the Apostle Paul praying and giving thanks for the believers in the Colossian church. He had heard about their faith and how strong they were in Jesus Christ. He had heard about their sincere love for all of God's people. He even acknowledged their confident hope of what God has reserved for them in heaven. And all of us should have that confident hope that we have the faith that God has a place prepared for us. And he let them know that he had not stopped praying for them. Then he went on to let them know exactly what he prayed for. And one of the things that he prayed was that they would always be grateful to God because Jesus Christ made it possible for believers to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people. In other words, we ought to be grateful that God has an inheritance stored up for us. You know, some of y'all right now, y'all going through classes and how to distribute y'all wealth. Amen. And because of that, that means you must have or expect to have some level of wealth. And if you don't waste it all before you leave here, that's going to be somebody in. And if you and your children are in good relationship, they know what's coming their way. And because of that, before they get it, they ought to be clapping their hands. My dad is a broker. I got an in. My mom and dad are wealth builders. I got an in. And so when we realize the inheritance that we got, that God has in store for us, just like your children are celebrating, they should celebrate when they know what they got, you ought to be celebrating because you know what God got for you. And that's all he's trying to get them to see. You ought to be able to give God thanks and gratitude for the inheritance that he already have laid up for you because you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you ought to tell your children that lesson right now. There's nothing wrong with letting them know that you are working hard and they ought to be grateful that you thought enough of them to put them in your will. Amen. To put their name on the title of the house. They ought to be. They ought to be grateful before you die. Because they know they got it in. Oh Lord, let me read this. Hey, look at this. Verse 9, he says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, we want you to know more about what God's will is for your life. For us, we have the word of God. So we can see a lot about God's will by studying his word. We can understand what God's will is by studying Jesus. Because Jesus was God in the flesh. And so therefore, when we learn him, we learn. And the things he did, we can say, line up with the will of God. So therefore, we need this wisdom and this spiritual understanding because wisdom comes from a. come from above. He says, now look at this. He says, if you got that, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. In other words, you will have good works to go along with your salvation. You won't be saved and not doing anything. You'll be saved, but you'll be bearing fruit. He says, all the while you will grow, all the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. You don't want to stop learning more and more about God, trying to understand his will, his ways, what he will have you to do. You don't want to ever stop learning because you've been in church for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. You ought to feel like every time I go to church and hear the word, God can teach me something. He can show me something. I can read a scripture that I've been reading for 10 years, but today I got a new understanding. I got a new insight. I got a new revelation of what God is really trying to say to me in that scripture. I didn't come to church today to just turn my brain off. Pastor's reading these scriptures. I'm trying to see what he wants me to see based upon this word of God. Amen. God should be speaking to your heart, revealing things to you that are going to make you better because you know him better. And you want to know God better and better. You don't want to know every person you see on your feed, on your social media network. You want to know. Y'all get quiet when I say God better, man. Ain't nothing wrong with knowing God better and better. That should have been a good place for a church full of holy folk to shout that they want to know God better and better. You know, when we were in the world, that was major, that was a certain thing. We wanted to know. I ain't going to list some of them right now because that ain't my point. But I just think back, because you got to remember where you came from. The things I wanted to know better and better, I studied from someone who already. Amen. And so therefore, if we want to learn some things better and better about God, we got to study and learn from somebody who already knows some things about God. And we got to open this word up for ourselves because we want to know God better and better. Look here, he said, look. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have the endurance and the patience you need. May God fill you with joy. Now look at this. He was saying, I want you to be strengthened so that you can have the endurance and the patience because this is not an easy race that you're in. This church will meet in opposition. People's coming against them because of their faith. And so therefore he said, I want to make sure that you're strengthened so that you can endure as a good soldier. Every now and then, you're going to have to go through some things just because you're saved. But as a result of that, he prayed that, hey, when those things come in your life, I pray that you're going to be able to end. You ain't going to quit. You're going to know that sometimes long-suffering come along with being saved. Amen? And so therefore, he was praying this so that when those things happen, that you may be filled with, even in the midst of what you're going through, I got joy deep down on the inside. And he's praying this for somebody now because he know, and if he's praying this for you, he know that there's going to come a time is going to come in your life when you're going to really need joy. He says, may you be filled with joy, Wayne, always thanking the Father. Always expressing gratitude to the Father. Why? Look at this. Because he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belonged to his people. You know, that's you can make that like natural, like with your children. You need to let them read this. Say, in the natural, where we're living at now, just like in the spiritual, we're talking about God. Because I have an inheritance for you, you ought to always be thankful. And you ought to be glad that you're able to leave something for your children. The Bible says if you really had it, you ought to leave it in half for your children and your children's. Your grandchildren ought to be jumping up, kicking their heels. Because you did things He says the inheritance that belonged to his people who live in the light. We know Jesus, the light of the world. Now look at what he says. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our... Man, that's something to be glad about. That I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer in bondage because my freedom has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And so therefore I can give God thanks. I can praise him and I can tell him, thank you, God, for having an inheritance for me, and thank you for transferring me from one situation to a better situation. Thank you for bringing me out of darkness into your marvelous light. And when we come out of darkness and walk in the light, then now we walk as children of light, and therefore we become the light of the world. And so therefore, when people see us shining, we're doing just what we're supposed to do in darkness. We're supposed to let our light so shine so they can see our good deeds and then not glorify us, but glorify the Father. And so we ought to be grateful that he's counted us worthy, but we're grateful that he's already established an inheritance for his children. So the question of heaven or hell is settled law in your life. You already know where your inheritance lies. So therefore, since you know that, you celebrate that, and you don't have to argue with folks about hell because you ain't going there. Amen. I mean, that ain't even part of my conversation. Hell, I don't need to know nothing about hell. I need to know about hell because that's where I'm going. I ain't trying to learn about Los Angeles. I ain't got no plan to go there. But if I'm finna move to Orlando, I want to learn everything I can about old. Stop worrying about a place you ain't going. Unless you feel you're going there, then yeah, you better be worried. But that's for your neighbor. That ain't for you. Y'all ain't going there. Amen. That's something to celebrate. You got an inheritance. I ain't going to hell. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to hell. I ain't going to hell. You know, Wayne, you know, we was a little boy. We didn't know that. We used to send them to hell all the time. When you get mad at folks, you just send them to hell. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all, the child that done got holy on you here today. They got holy. Most of them, remember, when you didn't know no better, and you sent folk to? Now you know you ain't going. Let me go finish. Let me go finish. But that's a good thought, man. That's a good feeling to know. Because people are debating today whether or not there is a hell. And I don't need to get into that debate. Because whether there's one or not, I don't know. I already know where my name is written. In the Lamb Book of Life. I ain't going to hell. But because Jesus do talk about hell, it's in the Bible, so I can't run away from that conversation. But at the same time, I don't have to be fearful because I ain't going there. It ain't for me. It is not a place prepared for me. Amen. The place that's prepared for me got streets of gold. That's what I want to know. I ain't going to hell. I ain't worried about no torment and torture and weeping and moaning and gnashing of teeth. That ain't for me. That ain't for you. And because that's not for you, you got something to celebrate about. You got something to tell God thank you for. God, I thank you. I am not going to hell. Amen. Last turn. 1 Timothy 1. Here we see the Apostle Paul expressing his sincere gratitude for God's mercy. Paul was expressing his thankfulness because the Lord allowed him to serve in ministry in spite of his past. Y'all better say amen right there.
Amen.
The Lord allowed him to serve in ministry in spite of his past. And Paul said, man, when I think about that thing that the Lord to serve in ministry in, boy, I get happy. When I look back at my past, the ends God allowed me to serve in ministry in Some of y'all, God allowed you to be a deacon in spite of your past, in spite of what you did when you were 15 years old, when you did when you was 20 years old, some when you did when you were 40. There was some deacon cutting the fool at 40. But in, Paul was happy about that thing, man. He says, in spite of what he had done in the past, God considered him faithful enough to serve in ministry. So I say to you, no matter what you've done in the past, man, you ought to be serving in ministry in some capacity, doing something based on what God has blessed you to be able to do. Why? Because he's allowing you to do it in spite of. All of us got a jagged history, past. We ain't got no pure and pristine, you know, white past. No, we got some spots and wrinkles in there. Amen. I know you said hey, you don't want, but you done dealt with that now. You delivered from that now. So you thank God for delivering you from your past, and then now you thank him for allowing you to serve in spite of. That's what Paul was happy about. He was saying, man, I just think about it. And you know, Paul let us know, if Paul could do this and be grateful, he was way worse than most of us. Some of y'all just got to thank him a little bit because y'all was, you know, low-level criminals. Low-level. You know, criminals got different degrees. You know, some folk don't warrant a whole case file with five investigators working on their case. Some people just want one little write up here and a warning, go home. But some of us, we had a case file. A case file. Just go back and replay your history in your own mind right now. And just look at your case file. And see some, that was some good in there, but because you was a sinner, that was some. Don't try to deny it. Be like Paul on it. But be glad that the Lord done forgave you for it. And he still counted you worthy to be able to serve. Look at this. Let me read this. Let me try and finish up. So this is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. You know, he was just grateful. Look, he says, I thank Christ. Somebody say, I thank Christ. In other words, he was expressing gratitude. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me the strength to do his work. In other words, you're going to serve God, you got to have strength. Not your strength, but his strength. And you got to believe that if he called you to serve, he's given you the strength and the power that you need to do what he called you to do. Amen. And you ought to thank him. Say, God, I thank you for giving me the strength to serve in this capacity, in this church, or that church, or wherever you serve at. You ought to thank God for giving you the strength. Some of you are trying to serve without strength. You can't serve in the Lord's kingdom weak. You got to get strong. Strong Christians got to know how to conduct themselves, how to act, how to handle God's business. You can't do it effectively if you're weak. So you got to say, God, I thank you for giving me the strength to do his work. He said, look, he considered me trustworthy. Good God Almighty. He considered me honest and faithful enough. And then he appointed me to serve him. Pastor didn't do it. The Lord did. If you're serving the Lord, he'll. And you ought to be thankful that he appointed you to do something in spite of. I know it. I know y'all didn't want to hear this day, but this is Paul, you know, just writing to us church folk to let us know that we ought to be thankful that God counted us worthy and appointed us to serve him. Look at this. He talking about himself. And if you read before this, some believe Paul, he had just got through really lighting them up in the previous verses. I mean, he called them out for all kind of crazy stuff. I ain't want to go through that with y'all today because I know if I did, y'all may not feel good going to the social tonight. So I ain't want to mess up now. So I didn't read all that. I'm still down here. But y'all can go back and read that on your own. I didn't want to leave your mind heavy. I want you to be lighthearted when you leave here because I want you to have a good time. Amen. I'm being considerate. Yeah. He says, now look, God had appointed him to serve, even though I used to blaspheme. That's a big serious word right there. The name of Christ. In my insolence, I had to look that one up because that is not part of my normal vocabulary. But Paul just letting them know that he was a violent dude. He was arrogant. He was disrespectful. And he was rude. I mean, Paul had a lot of issues going on before he got saved. And on top of that, Moses, he was trying to kill folk. He was going up beating up folk, beating down Christians. He watched Stephen get stoned to death and cheered them on. And Paul was remembering all those things that he had done. And now he was saying, boy, I think that in spite of all I did, yeah, he still counted me worthy enough, yeah, to serve. Yeah. Boy, I'm so grateful. He said, man, in my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God, somebody say, but God. That means God can change some things in your life. He said, in my foolishness, I persecuted God's people. But the very people I persecuted, God counted me worthy to go and share the gospel with them. But God. Everybody needs to have a but God moment in their life where he changed your life from one state to another. And he considers what you've done, but still, in spite of what you've done, he counts you worthy to serve. But God. But God. He said, but God. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. I was crazy. I was foolish. I was stupid. That did not mean he was not unlearned. He was a well-educated man. He was just ignorant on what he needed to do when it come to Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus really was at that time, so he did some things in ignorance and unbelief because he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of. He wasn't making excuses for his actions. He was just explaining them. See, every now and then when you're going to confess what you undid, don't sound like you're trying to make an excuse. My mama and them did me wrong, and because the way I was raised, and, you know, mama did me like that, so now, no. Don't make no excuse because you came from a single parent household and you came from this. No. Some of that foolishness you did on your own, own it. And then say, in spite of what I came from, God still saw fit to use me. So I'm not making any excuses for what I did when I was in high school. I'm just telling you what I did in high school. I've already accepted responsibility for what I did in high school, and God has forgiven me. So I'm not here to make an excuse about what I did. I'm here to use that as part of my case to explain to you what I did. And to let you know that in spite of what I did, God still saw fit. He said, I did it in ignorance and unbelief. But then in verse 14, he said, oh, how generous and how gracious our God was. He filled me with faith and love that come from Jesus Christ. In spite of what I was, he was generous. He exceeded my expectation and freely gave me some things that I didn't even think I deserved. And he filled me with faith and love that comes from Jesus Christ. Now look at this. This is something that Paul said in verse 15 here. He said, this is a non-negotiable truth. That means that y'all need to underline or highlight verse 15. Because you can take this one to the bank. He says, somebody say trustworthy. This is a trustworthy saying. Meaning that we ain't going to negotiate this. We ain't going to argue about it. We're just going to accept it. Amen. Because he was saying this is a trustworthy saying, and everybody should do what? Accept it. You didn't come here to argue with God. Accept what the word say. Amen. Let me read that again. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus, here's what's trustworthy, came into the world to save sinners with an S on it. Meaning that all of us were one of those sinners. Even before the movie came out, we was The movie didn't have to tell some of us sin. We already knew what sin was. We were sinners. Yeah. I would venture, if you was honest with yourself, you had more than one sin in your record. Amen. 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 Just think about it. Now, this is just between you and God and the Holy Spirit. But you know, if you just open up this jacket now and start reading, good God Almighty. Man, I need a good defense attorney. I need somebody that can get me off. Adrian, go ahead and fill in the blank for me. We had a good lawyer. He looked at our case and said, oh my God, Bolden did that. Bolden did that. He was 11 years old when he did that. At 15, he was doing that in the tunnels of the school. Sticking around in the classroom after everybody gone. He was doing. He was putting his hands where? At 15 years and hiding it. Who touched me? I thank God that in spite of, he counted me to do what I'm doing right now. In spite, he knew it was in my record. And in spite of it, he allowed the blood to cover it up so that I can do what I'm doing right now. And that's why you ought to be glad you got some things in your record right now. And in spite of, the blood covers your sin and allow you to do. And that's why we give it to you. It's a trustworthy saying that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, I am the worst of them all. Paul said, man, some of y'all about to say he was a chief sinner. He wasn't just no sinner. Some of us were chiefs. Some of y'all were just airmen sinners. E1 sinners, O1 sinners, but some of y'all got to be O10 sinners, O-E9 sinners. Some of them became chief. We were chief sinner before we were chief master sergeant. We were chief. Paul said, I was the worst of them all, man. I will admit, I was bad, but I wasn't the worst. I'm going to be honest. I don't want y'all to leave here and think, in my little gang, I was bad. But there were some dudes in there that worse than me. I hope they saved now. But you know, back then, we weren't looking for Jesus, but there was something. I hate to look at their jacket now and see if they get their records clean. But I thank God my record got. You know, they're in the court system now. When you go to court, you don't want them to just let you go. You want them to expunge your record. So when somebody go and look for it, they can't even. Good God Almighty. When y'all go to look for what I did, unless I tell you about it, you can't even. Y'all better hear me today. That's something to give God thanks for, that your record has been wiped clean. God is good. His mercy is always there. And because of that, whether we were the chief sinner or a little bitty sinner, we ought to be grateful. Paul said, that's a worthy saying. That's trustworthy. Jesus came to die for sinners, to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. That word is again a shouting word, but God. But God. I was bad, but God. I was doing some crazy things, but God, I'm bold enough to tell y'all, but everybody can't handle it. So that's why I just kind of allude to certain things I did, because I don't want you to know that y'all leave here, ooh, powerful like that. See, y'all get stuck on that, and what we look at now, y'all will forget about but God. Y'all just remember, oh, he did that, and then I say, well, what's the but God? Yeah, so that's why I don't tell you everything. I tell you enough to let you know I was a bad dude. Now, my jacket wasn't as thick as some of y'all now, because I know some of y'all close. I don't listen to y'all. My detective file about like that. But some of y'all got a file like. You didn't even want to go to court. But God, in spite of what was in the record, God saw fit to use you. And that ought to make you happy, man. He knew what I was. He knew what I did. But he still chose to use me. He chose to use you, Lisa. Charlie, he chose to. He made a decision to. He says, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst. Now look here. I wish I had time, Wayne, to let one of these prime examples get up and testify. You know, I'm a prime example that God is good. Some of y'all are, y'all ain't just choice. You know me coming grades. Y'all ain't just select. Y'all ain't choice. Y'all top of the line sinners. You were the top of the. But God saw fit to use you. And guess what? He wants you to open your jacket up and let somebody else read. Amen, Pastor. How bad you were and how good God is. Because they need to know that if he could forgive you, he can forgive. That's what Paul was doing. That's why he was telling all these things. Like, and when you read his other writings, when he was in Acts and talking about his life, when he was standing before people in high power, he told them everything he did till he met Jesus on Damascus Road. He was not ashamed of what he had done. He used that testimony to win others. That's why he said, I was a prime example. Good God Almighty. I'm a prime example of his great patience. And God was patient with some of us. And I hear people telling testimony, I'm so glad God was patient because I should have been dead and gone. You know, I look back at some of my friends who were doing some of the same thing. I'm not talking about myself. I hear testimony that they are gone. But God had great patience with me. Even the worst sinners, God got patient with them. Y'all think God ain't patient with nobody but the little low-class criminals. He patient with the little gossiper. No, he patient but with the adulterer too. The fornicator. Y'all say amen? He patient with them too. So we ought to thank God that he had mercy on us and he wants us to be an example. He says, look at this. Example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then, after he had this example, others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Amen. After they see what God has done in your life, where he has brought you from, and you share that I'm a good example of God's saving grace. Yes. And I can tell you because this is what he brought me from. And girl, if he brought me from that, he can bring you from that. And so therefore, that's why we can't be ashamed of our past. We have been delivered from our past. Our past is our story of how good God is. Then he says, he closed with verse 17. That's kind of a doxology. I had to look that up. They talk about doxology. This is supposed to be just a little powerful praise song at the end of this passage. So when you break it down, you can see that all through this, he's praising God and acknowledging who God is. Look at this. He says, now after I realized how bad I was, all the stuff I did, and God counted me worthy to serve him in any capacity that he used me, then now I can say all honor and glory to God forever and ever. It's not about me. It's all about him. He get all the glory. He get all the honor, and he should get that from us forever and ever. This should never be about us. It should always be about what he has done for us, so that nobody would think that we're trying to steal God's glory. Yes. Amen. So he said, look, I'm praising God. He said, hey, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. Why? He is the eternal king, the unseen one who never died. He alone is God. And then everybody shouted what? Amen. That said, we agree with what you just said. We concur. We affirm what you said, that he is a good God. He is a merciful God. He's God forever. He's God all by himself. And for that, when you look back over your life, you ought to be giving him praise, because he can use you in spite of you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a grand cup of praise. I'm done. It's an honor to be used by a holy God in spite of what we've done. And we ought to be grateful. We ought to be faithful. We ought to just tell God, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. You know, back in the day, some of y'all are too young to remember this. I'd have been praying some, you know, thank you songs to God, you know, but I'm going to pray an oldie right now. And some of y'all that's not my age, or, you know, I mean, you know, my age, I won't say nobody else my age. Y'all may not remember this. But I mean, before there was other Irish that y'all knew now. See, when I was a young baby Christian, we used to tear the church up on this one. You know, when the choir get up and sang this one right here, we turn over some pews in that place, man. Because, you know, it just reminded us how much we need to think. Amen. Can I get y'all just standing here? If you mark, just play us a little bit of this.